For 25 years, from 1973 through 1997, an Italian priest named Father Stefano Gobbi said that he received locutions from the Blessed Mother. In these messages, she spoke of our times and reiterated the requests she made at Fatima. Although her messages are for everyone, in these messages, she particularly asks priests for greater holiness and to be more active in promoting consecration to her Immaculate Heart. Father Gobbi's spiritual director urged him to write down the messages that came to him. In due time, they were published with multiple imprimaturs as thousands of priests, bishops, and cardinals eagerly asked for translations in many languages. This recording is not professional and not for profit. Volunteer readers have undertaken to make these available as audio podcasts. You may purchase the book, To the Priests, Our Lady's Beloved Sons, at mmp-usa.net. Presented here are the messages from 1993, beginning January 1st to December 31st.
Message number 486, The Time of the Great Trial, January 1st, 1993, Solemnity of Mary, Mother of God. My beloved ones and children consecrated to my Immaculate Heart, today you are living spiritually united in the solemn liturgical observance of my divine maternity. I am the true Mother of God. The Word of the Father has assumed human nature in my virginal womb and has become your brother. On the cross, a few minutes before he died, Jesus entrusted to me this humanity which has been redeemed and saved by him. I have thus become the mother of all humanity. It is in virtue of my role as Mother of God and of humanity that I am intervening in your life, in the life of the Church, and in the life of humanity, to assist you in carrying out the designs of the Heavenly Father, by responding to the gift which my Son Jesus made to you, and by seconding with docility the action of the Holy Spirit. As Mother, I am always close to you, to the Church, and to humanity, in order to lead you along the way of the fulfillment of the Father's will, of the imitation of the Son, and of communion with the Spirit of love, in such a way that the most holy and divine Trinity may be more and more glorified. The fountain of your joy and your peace is to be found in the perfect glorification of the most holy Trinity. Peace is given you by the Father, shared with you by the Son, and becomes communicated to you by the Holy Spirit. The Father has indeed so loved the world that he has given his only begotten Son. The Son himself is the peace which is communicated to the world. The Holy Spirit brings you to that love from which alone peace can spring. The evil one, Satan, the ancient serpent, the great dragon, has always acted and works in all kinds of ways to take away the precious blessing of peace from you, from the Church, and from humanity. It enters then into my function as mother to bring you all to a great communion of life with God, so that you may have the sweet experience of love and of peace. Never, as in your days, has peace been so threatened, because the struggle of my adversary against God is becoming stronger and stronger, more insidious, continual, and universal. You have thus entered into the time of the great trial. The great trial has come for all of you, my poor children, so threatened by Satan and stricken by evil spirits. The danger you are in is that of losing grace and the communion of life with God, which my Son Jesus obtained for you at the moment of redemption, when he delivered you from slavery to the evil one and set you free from sin. Now sin is no longer considered an evil. Indeed, it is often exalted as a thing of value and as something good. Under the perfidious influence of the mass media, the awareness of sin as an evil has been gradually lost. Thus it is committed and justified more and more and is no longer confessed. If you live in sin, you return again to slavery under Satan, subjected to his wicked power, and thus the gift of redemption which Jesus accomplished for you is made useless. Thus peace disappears from your hearts, from your souls, and from your life. Oh, my children, so threatened and so ill, accept my motherly urging to return to the Lord along the way of conversion and of repentance. Recognize sin as the greatest of evils, as the source of all individual and social evils. Never live in sin. If you should happen to commit it out of human weakness or through the subtle temptations of the evil one, have recourse quickly to confession. Let frequent confession be the remedy which you make use of against the spread of sin and evil. You then live in great communion of love and of life with the Most Holy Trinity, who takes up its dwelling in you and who is more and more glorified by you. The great trial has come for the Church. So violated by the evil spirit, so divided in its unity, so darkened in its holiness. See how error has flooded throughout it, error which leads to the loss of the true faith. Apostasy is spreading everywhere. A special gift of my Immaculate Heart for these times of yours is the Catechism of the Catholic Church, which my Pope has wished to promulgate, to be as it were his shining last testament. But how many are those pastors who grope about in the mist, become speechless out of fear or compromise, and who no longer defend their flocks from the many rapacious wolves? Many priestly and consecrated lives have become dried up by impurity, seduced by pleasures, and the search for comfort and well-being. The faithful are being drawn in by the enticements of the world which has become pagan, or by the countless sects which are spreading more and more. The hour of its great trial has above all come for the Church, because it will be shaken by the lack of faith, obscured by apostasy, wounded by betrayal, abandoned by its children, divided by schisms, possessed and dominated by Freemasonry, turned into fertile soil from which will spring up the wicked tree of the man of iniquity, the Antichrist, who will bring his kingdom into its interior. The great trial has come for all humanity, already lacerated by spreading violence, by destructive hatred, by wars which are expanding menacingly, by great ills which no one is able to heal. At the dawn of this new year, the threat of a terrible Third World War is becoming stronger and more worrisome. How many people will have to suffer the scourge of hunger, of famine, of discord, and of fratricidal struggles, which will spill much blood on your roads? If the time of the great trial has come, the time has come also for all to hasten into the safe refuge of my Immaculate Heart. Do not lose courage. Be strong in trust and confidence. I have told you beforehand of the times which await you, painful and difficult times, precisely in order to help you live in trust and in a great confidence in your Heavenly Mother. The further you enter into the time of the great trial, the more you will experience, in an extraordinary way, my motherly presence close to you to help, defend, protect, and console you, and to prepare you for new days of serenity and peace. In the end, after the time of the great trial, there awaits you the time of great peace, great joy, great holiness, the time of the greatest triumph of God in your midst. Pray with me on this, my feast day, and live in that expectation which sweetens the bitterness of your daily suffering. Today, I am spreading my mantle over you to shelter you, as does a mother hen with her chicks, and I bless you all in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Message 487, in the Temple of my Immaculate Heart, February 2nd, 1993, Feast of the Presentation of the Child Jesus. Let yourselves be carried in my motherly arms, beloved children, as newborn babes in the spiritual temple of my Immaculate Heart. In the temple of my Immaculate Heart, I offer you to the perfect glory of the Most Holy and Divine Trinity. I offer you to the glory of the Father, who takes delight in you, and I lead you at each moment of your life to do his divine will with love, docility, and filial abandonment. Thus as in heaven, so also on this earth, the Heavenly Father is glorified, and his name is adored and sanctified. I offer you to the glory of the Son, who pours out upon you the torrents of his divine mercy, to wipe away every shadow of evil and sin from your souls, who imprints there his image as the only begotten Son of the Father, and who associates you in his divine splendor so as to make of you yourselves light for revelation to all the Gentiles. For this I am leading you with gentle firmness along the way of faith and purity, of hope and mortification, of love and an ever greater holiness. I offer you to the glory of the Holy Spirit, who gives himself to you in inexhaustible abundance, in order to lead you into the heart of his very own design of love for the Father and the Son, thus making of you burning witnesses of divine charity. For this I am obtaining for you his seven holy gifts, which give you vigor and constancy, courage and strength, zeal and perseverance in the fulfillment of the mission which has been entrusted to you. Thus, while in the temple of the created universe, God is denied, scorned, and blasphemed, in the temple of my Immaculate Heart, the most holy and divine Trinity receives again today, from the mouths of my little children, the praise and perfect glory that is due it. In the temple of my Immaculate Heart, I am forming you for the greater splendor of the Church, the new Israel of God. In the time of the great trial for the Church, you become the help which it earnestly awaits, the help which my Immaculate Heart gives it for these bloody moments of the great tribulation. And so I am bringing you to the heroic witness to Christ and to his gospel, making of you courageous heralds of all the truths of the Catholic faith, in such a way that you illumine with your light the deep darkness of these times of great apostasy. By means of you, the Church will become more and more enlightened and will recover its confidence and strength so that it may accomplish the task of the second evangelization to which it is being strongly urged by the Spirit. In the temple of my Immaculate Heart, I give to all humanity the refuge so sought for and awaited for these times of the great trial which is now upon you. During these years, how very many of my children will you see starved and scattered, crushed and wounded, hastening in search of protection and salvation in the temple of my Immaculate Heart. I desire that the task entrusted to the Marian movement of priests be brought to its conclusion in the shortest time possible, and that all make right away the consecration to my Immaculate Heart, which I have asked of you for these days of the great trial. It is for this reason, my little son, that you find yourself again today in a very distant place, where I am venerated and Jesus is adored by a great number of my little children, poor, humble, simple, but faithful and docile to the request of your heavenly mother. In the hearts of all my children, I take up my dwelling, where I myself find my refuge to be consoled by your tender filial love and to obtain that great reparation which I have asked of you and of which I have need in order to shorten the great sufferings of these your days. Message number 488, The Dangers Which Threaten You, February 11th, 1993, Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes. Look today at the splendor of your heavenly mother, who appeared in Lourdes as the Immaculate Conception. I appeared in order to announce to you that you have entered into the time of my full manifestation. I appeared in order to point out to you the way along which you should travel in these final times of yours. I appeared in order to carry out my motherly task in your regard, my children, so ensnared by my adversary and yours. In the time of the great trial, I am pointing out to you the dangers which threaten you. The gravest danger is that of succumbing to the seduction of the world in which you live, of becoming the victim of sin and evil, of returning to slavery under Satan and his diabolical power. And so I have manifested myself to you as the Immaculate Conception, that is, as the only creature who has never known the shadow of sin, not even original sin, which every person contracts at the moment of his human conception. and I have directed to you my motherly invitation to walk along the way of goodness and grace, of purity and humility, of love and of an ever greater holiness. I have also asked you to make use of those means which are indispensable for walking along this difficult road, penance and the sacrament of reconciliation. Another danger which threatens you is that of allowing yourself to be taken up with inordinate activity, and so forgetting the powerful force which prayer has in obtaining the grace of conversion for many of my poor, sinful children. And so I have invited you to pray much for the conversion of sinners by showing you, through my little daughter Bernadette, that the most efficacious prayer, the prayer which is most preferred by me, is that of the Holy Rosary. And lastly, there is the continual danger of falling ill, of allowing yourself to be seized by discouragement and lack of confidence, thus reducing you to a true spiritual impotence. And so I have wished also to manifest myself as a medicine for your ills, a help in your needs, and a support in your human weakness. I have invited you to go and wash at the fountain with that water which I have caused to spring up miraculously from the rock on which I appeared. Today, now that the time of the great trial has already come, I again repeat to you my motherly invitation to follow me along the way of grace and purity, of penance and prayer, in order to obtain the gift of healing and salvation. Message number 489, I Have Wanted You Here, March 15th, 1993. Today I invite you to come here in spirit, my beloved children, to the poor Cova de Iria in Fatima, where I appeared that I might be a light upon your path in this period of time in which you are living. And so I have again wanted you here, my little child, at my feet, in the very same place where I began this great work of love, my Marian movement of priests. I have wanted you here to receive from your hands this work of mine, which is now spread throughout the whole world, and by means of which there comes to me from all sides the homage of my beloved priests and children who have consecrated themselves to my Immaculate Heart. This generous response which I receive, especially from the little ones, the poor, the simple, and the humble, gives much joy to my motherly heart and consoles me in my great sorrow. I have wanted you here to tell you that you must now all enter right away into the safe refuge of my Immaculate Heart. Just as Noah, in the name of the Lord, called into the ark those who were to be saved from the flood, so now must you, my littlest child, in the name of your heavenly mother, call into the refuge of my Immaculate Heart those who must be protected, defended, and saved from the great trial which has now come for the church and for all humanity. I have wanted you here because you must communicate to all that as of now, as of this year, you have entered into the events which I foretold to you and which are contained in the third part of the secret, which has not yet been revealed to you. This will now be made evident by the very events themselves which are about to take place in the church and in the world. My church will be shaken by the violent wind of apostasy and unbelief, as he who sets himself against Christ will enter into its interior, thus bringing to fulfillment the horrible abomination which has been prophesied to you in Holy Scripture. Humanity will know the bloody hour of its chastisement. It will be stricken with the scourge of epidemics, of hunger, and of fire. Much blood will be spilt upon your roads. War will spread everywhere, bringing down upon the world incommensurable devastation. You, my poor children, must all bear the weight of great sufferings and of unspeakable sorrows, so that the great miracle of divine justice and mercy may be manifest to all. For this reason, from my shrine in Fatima, I renew today the pressing invitation for you to take refuge in me through your consecration to my Immaculate Heart and to multiply everywhere the cenacles of prayer which I have asked of you, cenacles of priests, of little children, of youth, and cenacles within families. Do not be afraid. Do not allow yourselves to be seized with discouragement. I am with you always. I have wanted you here because you must announce to each and all that the time has come when I will make myself manifest in an extraordinary way to all those who have consecrated themselves to me and have formed part of my victorious cohort. From this place where I appeared as the woman clothed with the sun, to be your light in these dark years of the great tribulation, I bless you all in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Message number 490, A Service of Love, April 8, 1993, Holy Thursday. Beloved sons, this is your feast day. This is your Pasch. Today you are recalling the institution of the new sacrifice and of the new priesthood, which took place at the Last Supper. Gathered about your bishops in concelebration, you are renewing your promise of fidelity to Jesus and the Church. You are his ministers. You are his servants. Let your priestly ministry be a service of love. Love Jesus, who has chosen, called, and consecrated you in order to perpetuate throughout time his sacrifice accomplished on the cross for the salvation of the world. Jesus asks of you, his priests, only to be loved. He asks this of you with the anxiety of a thirsty man who, moaning, waits for a drop of water, with the longing of a hungry man who stretches out his hand for a scrap of bread, with the ardor of a lover who longs to receive love from the one he loves. My beloved sons, open your priestly hearts to the perfect love for my son Jesus. Your love is balm upon his heart, which sweetens the bitterness of his feeling himself so little loved in these times when the hearts of men have become cold, frigid, closed by egoism and a great aridity. Never before as today has love been so unloved. You who are his priests, love Jesus who is surrounded by great coldness and a general indifference. Let your priestly ministry be a service of love for him. Lay a caress upon his face, so often disfigured. Bind up his head, pierced with deep thorns. Kiss his lips to taste the bitterness of his chalice. Anoint with balm his body, covered with sweat and blood. Make reparation by your presence for the countless and repeated acts of abandonment. Give your life to him in loving compensation for the ongoing acts of betrayal. Enter with Jesus into Gethsemane and live with him the painful hours of his interior agony. Love his brothers and yours with the infinite delicacy of his divine love. Learn of Jesus, who is meek and humble of heart. Learn from Jesus how to love. You too, gird yourself with the towel to put yourself at the service of your neighbor. Let your priestly ministry be a service of love for all. Let it be Jesus himself who loves in you. To the poor give his richness, to the rich his poverty, to the healthy his weakness, to the sick his strength, to sinners his salvation, to the dying his paradise, to the hungry his body, to the thirsty his blood, to the weak his support, to the little, his defense, to all, his divine caress. On this Holy Thursday, beloved sons, learn from Jesus how to love. And so I invite you today to enter, each and all, into the Gethsemane of his divine love, never to leave it again. Message number 491. His sorrowful passion is being renewed. April 9th, 1993, Good Friday. Beloved children, come with me to Calvary to live the sorrowful hour of the passion and death of my son Jesus. With what fatigue he makes his way towards Golgotha, carrying on his wounded shoulders the burden of his gibbet. How distant are the voices of his triumph. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. In place of the palm and olive branches, there are lances of the Roman soldiers. In place of the Hosanna cries of the crowd, there is the shouting and the insults of the executioners. In place of the joyful songs of the little children, there is the weeping of the faithful women. In place of the majestic and regal entrance, there is the slow advance carrying the cross on his shoulders. The crowd fed by Jesus with his bread are not there, nor are the sick who had been healed, nor the sinners led back along the road of righteousness, nor the apostles chosen to be his witnesses. But his mother is there, and close to her, the beloved John, who represents all of you, my beloved sons. Together let us kiss his wounds, let us collect his blood, close the deep gashes, arrange his blood-soaked hair, wipe away the bruises and spittle from his face, make clean again his martyred body, covered with injuries, drink the blood and water that flow from his pierced heart, and let us ever live in spirit his sorrowful passion. This, his sorrowful passion, is being renewed in these last times when the great trial has come for all. His sorrowful passion is being renewed by the church, his mystical body. She too is called to enter into the Gethsemane of his agony. She too knows the kiss of betrayal, the denial and the abandonment on the part of her own. She too must taste all the bitterness of this chalice. She is likewise mocked, scourged, and crowned with thorns. She likewise experiences the condemnation and abuse of many. Indeed, she is crucified and immolated so that the plan of the Heavenly Father may be fulfilled. His sorrowful passion is being renewed by you, my beloved children, and so I have called you time and again to enter, by your consecration, into the Gethsemane of my Immaculate Heart. This is in order to form you for your priestly immolation and to give you the strength to go forward without fear to the Calvary of your martyrdom, close to me, the sorrowful mother, who has begotten you beneath the cross upon which my son Jesus has been put to death. The time of your painful passion has now arrived. You too will be persecuted and stricken, rejected and condemned, imprisoned and killed. But do not let yourselves be seized with apprehension or fear. I am close to you as I was beneath the cross. I am at your side at the hour of the painful passion which is being renewed by you, my beloved ones, because today also it is beneath the cross that I am fulfilling my role as mother of the new times, which are coming to birth from your painful suffering.
Message number 492, Close to Every Sepulchre, April 10th, 1993, Holy Saturday. Live together with me in prayer, in silence, and in expectation, close to the sepulchre where lies the lifeless body of my son, Jesus. Beloved children, live close to me on this day of my immaculate sorrow. This is the day of my new and spiritual motherhood. This is the only day when I am left without my son. This is the first day when I feel myself called to be a mother to you, to the church, and to all humanity. From today on, as mother, I am close to every sepulchre in which each of my new children is laid. I am close to the sepulchre where millions of innocent little babies repose, babies who have never been born into life, as they were killed in the wombs of their mothers. In the new sepulchre, where the body of my son is laid, I see gathered together all these countless sepulchres, and copious tears flow down the cheeks of a mother who is mourning for all her little babes who have been killed in such a cruel and inhuman way. I am close to the sepulchre where lie all the victims of hatred, violence, and wars, and who have been put into common graves without as much as a gesture of human pity. I am close to the sepulchre where there rest in the sleep of death all my sinful, poor, sick, marginalized, persecuted, oppressed, and battered children.
I am close to the sepulchre which gathers together the mortal remains of my priest sons, of the religious, and of those who have consecrated their lives to the service of my son Jesus. Close to every sepulchre, I want to keep watch today with you, my beloved ones, in sorrow and in prayer. As of this holy Saturday, copious tears flow daily from my motherly and merciful eyes as I mourn over each of my new children who is being carried to the sepulchre. But close to every sepulchre, I keep watch above all in hope and expectation. From the moment when my son Jesus came forth from his sepulchre, alive once again and victorious over death and hell, I have been waiting with confidence for the moment when all my children, too, will come forth from their sepulchres to share forever in the immortal life which Jesus has obtained for you by his death and resurrection. Message number 493, The Pasch of the New Times, April 11th, 1993, Easter Sunday. Beloved children, rejoice with me, the joyful mother of the resurrection. Your hearts, hearts of newborn babes, like little white flowers blossoming from the bloody torment of Calvary, are exulting with purest paschal joy. Jesus scorned, scourged, crowned with thorns, condemned to the gibbet, crucified, put to death, and buried, today comes forth victorious from his sepulchre in the splendor of his divine glory. Jesus is alive. Jesus is holy. Jesus is immortal. Jesus is God. In the light of his risen body, Jesus Christ is spreading over the world and the entire universe the splendor of the Father, the reflection of his glory, the imprint of his divine substance. And peace descends into your souls, set free from slavery to Satan and sin, into your hearts, purified by the fire of his love, into your minds, opened up to the gift of his word of life, into your spirits, upon whom his very own spirit comes gently to rest, into your eyes, called upon to reflect his most ardent light, into your bodies, called to share in the new experience of divine immortality. Yes, Jesus Christ has conquered death, has made Satan, the ancient adversary, his slave, takes you by the hand, and leads you into the stupendous kingdom of his freedom. Do not let the hour of a new Gethsemane, through which humanity is now living, make you sad. Do not be discouraged if evil has the upper hand in the world today. Do not be alarmed if Satan has reached the summit of his diabolical reign. Humanity is now lying in its sepulchre of death, of sin, of impurity, rent asunder by the impetuous wind of violence and hatred. Soon, it too will come forth from this, its immense sepulchre, to live the Pasch of the new times, when Jesus will return in glory to restore his kingdom of love and of life. Prepare yourselves to live the Pasch of the new times. It is the Pasch prepared for you. It is the Pasch which awaits you at the end of the gloomy period of the purification and the great tribulation through which you are now living. It is with great hope and in this certain expectation that you must live through the time of the great trial which has now arrived for all. In this Pasch of 1993, I invite you all to look to Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To Jesus Christ, who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and who has made us into a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Behold, Jesus Christ is coming amid the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. The peoples of the earth will be confounded. Yes, amen. Beloved children, in the paschal joy of this announcement, which brings you to peace, with my risen Son, I bless you all today in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Message number 494, My Motherly Presence, May 1st, 1993, Feast of St. Joseph the Worker and First Saturday. Beloved children, today I invite you to live with particular diligence your consecration to my Immaculate Heart. It is the best way of offering me this month of May, which has been set aside by the Church for my particular veneration. I am especially close to you during this month, and I want my motherly presence to be felt by each one of you. You will succeed in feeling my presence as mother close to you if, as little children, you accustom yourselves to do everything together with me. Pray with me, work with me, love with me, suffer with me, offer yourselves with me, keep silence with me. Silence must become for you the sign of my motherly presence. Let yours be an exterior silence, which protects you from the deafening roar of voices and images which continually fill the course of your days. Remove yourselves from the easy seduction of the press and television. This terrible means made use of by my adversary to draw you away from me and my son Jesus. Let yours be an interior silence, which leads you to listen with love and faith to the Word of God alone. Penetrate into the deep mystery of truth and beauty, which is revealed to you in the Gospel. Let the Gospel of Jesus be the only word of life which you seek, welcome, love, and live. Let yours be that interior silence which leads you to contemplation and prayer. Let your prayer become more intense. Let it be a true prayer of the heart which you make with me and by means of me. For this let the cenacles of prayer which I have asked of you flourish everywhere like fragrant flowers which blossom in the desert of a great aridity and general dissipation. Mortify your senses. Let the tongue be loosened only for words of wisdom and goodness. Let your mouth be ever closed to judgments, criticisms, affronts, gossip, calumnies, duplicity, and insincerity. Let the eyes be open to see the deep wounds of the sick, the poor, the weak, the little ones, the abandoned, the stricken, the persecuted, the oppressed, and the slain. Turn your gaze away from impurity and malice, from evil and wickedness, from seduction and impiety. Open your hands to the aid of all. Go along the rough and blood-stained roads in search of my poor wandering children. Offer me your heart so that I may love in you and by means of you, in such a way that all may receive the comfort of my motherly presence. Beloved children, these are the flowers which I am asking you to give me, to make more pleasing to me this month of May, which you are beginning today. Only in this way do I feel myself ever close to you. Only in this way do you spread about you the charism of my motherly presence. Only in this way do you reflect my light of love and hope. Only in this way do you live the consecration which you have made to me. Then, by means of you, the Heavenly Mother becomes more and more invoked, listened to, followed, and lived, and my Immaculate Heart attains its greatest triumph.
Number 495, The Bloody Years of the Battle. Shrine of Caravaggio, Bergamo, Italy, May 13, 1993, anniversary of the first apparition at Fatima. By a day-long cenacle at this venerated shrine, you, the priests and faithful of my movement in the region of Lombardy, are today observing the anniversary of my first apparition, which took place at Fatima in the poor Covada area. You are still in the period described by me in my apparition. Above all, you are in the heart of my message. The struggle between the woman clothed with the sun and the red dragon has, during these years, reached its highest peak. Satan has set up his kingdom in the world. He is now ruling over you as a sure victor. The powers which are directing and arranging human events, according to their perverse plans, are the dark and diabolic powers of evil.
They have succeeded in bringing all humanity to live without God. They have spread everywhere the error of theoretical and practical atheism. They have built the new idols before which humanity is bowing down in adoration: pleasure, money, pride, impurity, mastery over others, and impiety. Thus, in these years of yours, violence is spreading more and more. Egoism has made the hearts of men hard and insensitive. Hatred has blazed up like a scorching fire. Wars have multiplied in every part of the world, and you are now living in the danger of a new terrible world war, which will bring destruction to peoples and nations, a war from which no one will emerge victorious. Satan has succeeded in entering into the church, the new Israel of God. He has entered there with the smoke of error and sin, of the loss of faith and apostasy, of compromise with the world and the search for pleasure. During these years, he has succeeded in leading astray bishops and priests, religious and faithful. The forces of Masonry have entered into the church in a subtle and hidden way and have set up their stronghold in the very place where the vicar of my son Jesus lives and works. You are living the bloody years of the battle, because the great trial has now arrived for all. There is now taking place that which is contained in the third part of my message, which has not yet been revealed to you, but which has now become evident from the events themselves through which you are now living. To prepare you for them, I have caused my Marian movement of priests to spring up in every part of the world. And thus I have chosen this littlest and poorest child of mine and have brought him everywhere as an instrument of my motherly plan of salvation and mercy. By means of him, I have called you from all sides to consecrate yourselves to my Immaculate Heart, to enter, each and all, into the safe refuge which your Heavenly Mother has prepared for you, to multiply the cenacles of prayer as lightning rods which protect you from the fire of the chastisement. How many of you have responded to my call with filial love and with great generosity? My plan is now on the point of being realized, and the task which I have entrusted to this little son of mine is about to be completed. And so, today I am looking upon you with the special satisfaction of a mother who is being consoled and exalted by you. I urge you to live without fear, but rather with great confidence and trust, these bloody years of the battle. From the chalice of sufferings never experienced until now, there will come forth the divine son of a new era, of a humanity heretofore unknown, of grace and holiness, of love and justice, of joy and peace. Number 496, Comfort Amidst Mourning. Notre Dame de Laus, Gap, France, May 30th, 1993, Solemnity of Pentecost. You are bringing to completion today, in this venerated shrine, the journey which you have undertaken all through France. In 15 days, you have held a good 20 cenacles in which bishops, priests, and a great number of the faithful of my movement have taken part. Everywhere you have gathered together in prayer with me before the Eucharistic Jesus solemnly exposed on the altar, and you have renewed your consecration to my Immaculate Heart. Everywhere you have contemplated the marvels of love, of grace, and of mercy of your Heavenly Mother. You are completing this extraordinary journey today on the solemn feast of Pentecost. This is a sign which I am giving you to make you understand that in the garden of my Immaculate Heart, the new church and the new humanity purified, sanctified, and completely renewed by the Holy Spirit are even now ready to come to birth. This decisive time of the purification and the great tribulation is the time of the Holy Spirit. And so I renew again today my invitation to multiply the cenacles of prayer which I have asked for with such motherly insistence. Let these cenacles be spread among the priests, my beloved sons. Surrender to me your concerns and your many occupations. Do not give in to the easy seductions of the world. Return to the spirit of simplicity, of humility, of littleness. Recollect yourselves in prayer in the cenacle of my Immaculate Heart, and then you will be able to see with your own eyes the wonder of the second Pentecost. Let children come together in cenacles, because their innocent prayer, united to mine, has today a great power of intercession and reparation. From how many evils you have already been spared because of the prayer of these little children of mine. I want to gather young people together in cenacles so that they may experience my motherly presence, the presence of a mother who loves them, protects them from the great dangers to which they are exposed, and who leads them with gentle firmness along the road of goodness, of love, of purity, and of holiness. The cenacles which I have asked of families are a precious gift to them, so that in them they may experience the joy of my presence, the comfort of my assistance, and the help offered against the grave evils which threaten their very existence. In these cenacles, the Holy Spirit will come down to lead you to the second Pentecost. It is necessary, above all in these last times, that the church and all humanity be transformed into a continuous cenacle of prayer made with me and through me. Then the Holy Spirit will come down as a comfort upon the morning of your days, in which the great trial has already come. Amidst the mourning of a humanity without God, there will come down the comfort of the Holy Spirit, who will lead the whole world to the perfect glorification of the Heavenly Father, bringing about a new marriage of love between a renewed humanity and its Lord who has created, redeemed, and saved it. Amidst the mourning of a divided, darkened, and wounded church, there will be felt the comfort of the Holy Spirit, who will clothe it with fortitude and wisdom, with grace and holiness, and with love and light in such a way that it may give its full witness to Jesus, living in it until the end of the world. Amidst the mourning of souls made slaves of Satan, immersed in the shadow of sin and death, there will alight the comfort of the Holy Spirit, who will give the light of the presence of God, the life of divine grace, and the fire of love, so that in them the most holy and divine Trinity will be able to take up its permanent dwelling. Amidst the mourning of the great trial, there will come down the comfort of the divine presence of the Spirit of the Lord, who will lead you to live with confidence, courage, hope, serenity, and love through the events which are awaiting you. Then, in the midst of fire, you will feel his refreshment, in the cold, his heat, in the darkness, his light, in mourning, his comfort, in fear, his courage, in weakness, his strength, in great suffering, his divine solace. And so today, I invite you to unite your prayer to mine so that the Spirit of the Lord may come down upon you with all his gifts. Come, O Holy Spirit, come and change the face of the earth. Come quickly. Come in these last times. Come now that the great trial has arrived. Come and bring us your second Pentecost so that our eyes may see your greatest miracle, that of the new heavens and new earth. Number 497, My Work. Monastery of Le Bouvre, Valls, Switzerland, June 19, 1993. Feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. With a great cenacle of priests and faithful of my movement from French-speaking Switzerland, you are celebrating today the liturgical memorial of my Immaculate Heart. You are completing the journey which you have been making through all Switzerland, so ensnared and stricken by my adversary, but so loved and defended by your Heavenly Mother. Here, my adversary is exercising his great power through hedonism, moral permissiveness, and impurity. It is obscuring the splendor of my church through division, through the spread of errors which are leading many away from the true faith, through disobedience and contestation directed against the Pope, I am taking action in a powerful way to spread everywhere my great work of love and salvation. It is my work, which I am carrying out in every part of the world in these last times. It is my work, which I am raising up everywhere for the triumph of my Immaculate Heart. It is my work, which I myself am now carrying out in order to gather from all sides the little remnant which will remain faithful to Jesus and to his gospel, to the Pope and to the Church united with him. It is my work because I myself am accomplishing it and spreading it in a silent and hidden way. Satan and all the diabolic spirits are able to do nothing against it. The Lord has prohibited them from harming it. The powers of evil, the dark forces of Satanism, and the secret rulers of Masonry can do nothing against it, because it is protected, preserved, and defended by me. It is my work, which I am carrying out in every part of the world in order to conquer Satan in the great battle against all the wicked spirits, because in the end my Immaculate Heart will triumph. It is my work, which I am accomplishing to spread the truth in these times of great apostasy, to bring you to greater unity with the Pope in these days of division and of widespread rebellion, to lead you along the way of grace and holiness amidst the general spread of sin and impurity. It is my work, which I am carrying out by means of my Marian movement of priests. For this, I have chosen this little child of mine and made him an instrument of my greatest marvels in every part of the world. Satan has sought in many ways to destroy it by stirring up opposition and criticisms against it, persecution and obstacles, subtle snares on the part of false visionaries and false messages, which have succeeded in misleading a great number of my poor children. But I have personally intervened in an extraordinary way to prevent him from harming it. Because I am jealous of this work of mine with the very jealousy of God, for it is through it that I will bring about the triumph of my Immaculate Heart in the world. And so, now that the great trial is here, my work must shine forth with a light that becomes stronger and stronger, because the times have arrived when my Immaculate Heart must be exalted by all the Church and all humanity. Number 498, the mission which I entrust to you. Valdragone, San Marino, July 1st, 1993. Spiritual exercises in the form of a cenacle with the bishops and priests of the Marian movement of priests from America and Europe. During these days, beloved sons, how much joy you give to my Immaculate Heart, and in my sorrow, how greatly am I consoled by you. You have come from faraway countries of America and from all over Europe. And now, bishops and priests of my movement, you find yourselves reunited in a continuous cenacle. Your Heavenly Mother is present in an extraordinary way to pray with you in order to make you grow in love and unity, to obtain for you the gift of the Holy Spirit, so that He will confirm you in your vocation and give you courage in your apostolate and bring joy and peace to your hearts. Your Heavenly Mother is glorified in you. Through you, the triumph of my Immaculate Heart is accomplished. For this reason, I have once again called you up here on this mountain, and you have responded with great generosity. And so, I have exercised my motherly action in a powerful way in your hearts and your souls, because you must now be ready for the mission which I am entrusting to you. The mission which I entrust to you is that of going everywhere to bring the light of the truth in these times when the darkness of error has spread everywhere. See how the lack of faith is spreading like a flood. See how the apostasy becomes greater and greater each day. You must be the light lit in the night. You must be apostles faithful to the gospel, which must be lived by you and proclaimed to the letter. Do not allow yourselves to be misled by false teachers who have become so numerous today. Do not let yourselves be deceived by new doctrines, even if they are generally followed. Because, like Christ, his truth is ever the same, yesterday, today, and always. Then, In these days your light will shine forth before men, who will glorify your heavenly Father. You will point out the way they should go in this new evangelization, and you will become the apostles of these last times. The mission which I entrust to you is that of going everywhere to bring the salvation of Christ to a humanity which has once again become pagan after almost 2,000 years since the gospel was first announced. Give Jesus, the only Redeemer and the only Savior, to the world of today. Give him through the faithful exercise of your priesthood, which puts you at the service of souls by the ministry of the sacraments which have been entrusted to you. Above all, be diligent in prayer, zealous in the apostolate, ardent in love in the celebration of the Eucharist, assiduous and available for the sacrament of reconciliation, which is being much neglected today by a great number of my priest sons. So then, help the faithful entrusted to your care to walk along the way of holiness, of the grace of God, of love, of purity, and of the exercise of all the virtues. The mission which I entrust to you is that of going everywhere to bring the fire of love to a humanity dried up by egoism, darkened by hatred, wounded by violence, threatened with war. See how many poor children of mine give way every day under the weight of this general inability to love. Now that the great trial is at hand, go into every part of the world to seek out my children who have gone astray. Take them in your priestly arms and carry them all into the safe refuge of my Immaculate Heart. Support the weak. Restore strength to the timid. Convert the sinners. Bring those far away to the house of the Father. Heal the sick. Comfort the dying. Give to all the heavenly dew of my motherly and merciful love. Even now, as of this year, events will worsen in the church and in the world, because you are entering into the times which I foretold to you in the message which I have given you at Fatima, and which up to now has not been revealed to you. But now it will become evident by the very events through which you are living. And so, the mission which I entrust to you is that of going everywhere to bring the light of the truth, the salvation of Jesus, and the tenderness of my motherly love. Thus you become instruments of the triumph of my Immaculate Heart in the world. Go from this cenacle in joy. May peace of heart be the sign of my daily presence near you. Live in confidence and in great hope, and become a sign of consolation for all those you meet along your way. With your dear ones and all those who have been entrusted to your care, I bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Number 499, Close to All of You. Rubio, Vicenza, Italy, August 15, 1993. Solemnity of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary into Heaven. Beloved children, look with joy at the splendor of my glorified body, assumed into the glory of paradise. The Most Holy and Divine Trinity is glorified today by your Heavenly Mother. The Father contemplates in me the masterpiece of His creation and is pleased at seeing me surrounded with the splendor of His glory and His divine power. The Son joyfully sees me at His side and shares with me His royal power over all the universe. The Holy Spirit is glorified in His spouse, who is exalted above all creatures in heaven and on earth. On this day, I reflect upon you the rays of my splendor, and I ask you to walk in the light of my motherly presence, close to all of you. Precisely because of the privilege of my bodily assumption into heaven, I am always able to be close to all of you. My poor children, still pilgrims upon this earth, I am close to my church, suffering and divided, crucified and immolated, still living through the painful hours of its martyrdom and its Calvary. I am close to all humanity, redeemed by Jesus, but now so far from its Lord and walking along the wicked way of evil and sin, of hatred and iniquity. I am close to my straying children that I may lead them along the way of conversion and return to the Lord, to the sick that I may give them comfort and healing, to all who are far away, that I may lead them to the house of the Heavenly Father, who awaits them with great love, to the despairing, that I may give them hope and confidence, to the dying, that I may open up for them the gate of eternal happiness. I am particularly close to my Pope, who is being guided, led, and immolated by me to the bishops and priests, that I may give them courage and strength to walk along the way of heroic witness to Jesus and his gospel. To the religious, that I may help them follow Jesus, obedient, poor, and chaste, all the way to Calvary. To all the faithful, that I may give them the grace of keeping their baptismal promises in all circumstances. Now that the great trial has come, you will feel me in an extraordinary way close to all of you, that I may be the great sign of consolation and certain hope in these last times of the purification and the great tribulation. Number 500, Along the Way of Humility. Beppu, Oita, Japan, September 8, 1993, Feast of the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Beloved children, look today at your infant mother and place a fragrant crown of love and humility about the crib in which you venerate me at the moment of my earthly birth. I am your mother, who am leading you along the way of humility and littleness, of docility and obedience, of mortification and purity. Follow me each day on the way of humility because you are being called to contemplate in these last times the greatest marvels of the Lord. As the Lord has looked upon the humility of his servant, so also today the Lord is looking upon the humility of all of you, my little children. Along the way of humility, learn to be little. Today, when my adversary is succeeding in deceiving all with the spirit of pride and arrogance, remain ever in the truth and proclaim it with courage in all its fullness. Thus, in these times of great darkness, you give to all the light of the gospel. You then become today the very voice of God, who speaks again by means of you and achieves, by means of the silence of my little children, his greatest victory over his strong and powerful adversaries. Along the way of humility, learn to be docile. In these times, when my adversary is succeeding in misleading many through the wicked spirit of self-affirmation and rebellion, give a good example of humble and courageous obedience. Be obedient to the Pope and the bishops united with him. Obey all the norms which regulate your priestly life. Obey the will of God, which becomes more and more manifest to you, so that your Father who is in heaven may be glorified in you each day in the perfect fulfillment of his divine will. Along the way of humility, learn to be pure. In these days in which you are living, when my adversary is succeeding in misleading everyone through the darkness of sin and impurity, remain pure and give the good example of a holy and spotless priestly life. Above all, give the witness of a joyful faithfulness to your promise of celibacy, because your priestly body should be a body crucified to the world and to all its seductions. For this, my little son, I have brought you once again to this great country so very far away on the day of my nativity. Look at the tens of millions of your brothers who are still living, plunged in the darkness of paganism, and who are awaiting the moment when they will enter the one and only sheepfold to know at last the consoling voice of the one good shepherd. Today I announce that this great miracle will take place soon. With the triumph of my Immaculate Heart in the world, this entire great nation, which is still pagan, will enter and become part of the flock of which Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd. Prepare yourselves for this moment with humility and confidence, listening with docility to the voice of your Heavenly Mother. Today, I bless you and take you by the hand in order to lead you to live through the painful hours of the great trial, which is even now upon you, to prepare the world for the meeting with its Lord, who is about to return to you in the splendor of his reign of glory. Number 501, A Cause of My Great Sorrow, Tokyo, Japan, September 15, 1993, Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows, spiritual exercises in the form of a cenacle with the priests of the Marian Movement of Priests from Japan. Today, I see you gathered here in this cenacle of prayer and brotherhood, beloved sons of my Marian Movement of Priests of Japan, and I am consoled by you in my great sorrow. A cause of my great sorrow is all of these poor children of mine who are still living immersed in the darkness of paganism and who are unaware of the truth of the gospel. In this great country, almost all are still far from faith in Jesus Christ, who has come into the world to be your only Savior, your only Redeemer. I am the mother of all these pagans as well, a mother who is concerned and anxious for their salvation. I nurture seeds of life and goodness in their hearts. I help them to observe that law which the Lord has engraved in the depths of each man. I stir up in their minds a desire for the truth and thus lead them gently to the encounter with my Son Jesus. Their full and total adhesion to the gospel will be an extraordinary work of my Immaculate Heart. A cause of my great sorrow is my church, which, in every part of the world, is passing through the painful and bloody Gethsemane of its great tribulation. You have seen, my little son, how even here in Japan, the church is being threatened with the loss of faith and with the increasingly vast and subtle spread of errors. It is wounded in its unity by the contestation and opposition directed against the Pope with his universal magisterium. Its holiness is being obscured by the spread of sins and sacrileges. Thus, it is becoming paralyzed, and its drive to evangelize has become greatly weakened. A cause of my great sorrow is the hardness of your hearts and your incapacity to accept what your Heavenly Mother is asking of you. How many times have I spoken to you, and you have not listened? I have given extraordinary signs of my motherly intervention, and you have not believed. How many have closed the door of their own hearts and have not wanted to receive me as a mother in their lives? In this very country, I have given you an extraordinary sign, causing copious tears to fall more than 100 times from the eyes of one of my statues, in which I am represented as the sorrowful mother beneath the cross of my Son Jesus. And I have also given you 3 messages to warn you of the great dangers into which you are running. I now announce to you that the time of the great trial has come, because during these years all that I have foretold to you will come to pass. The apostasy and the great schism in the church is on the point of taking place, and the great chastisement about which I foretold you in this place is now at the very doors. Fire will come down from heaven, and a great part of humanity will be destroyed. Those who will survive will envy the dead, because everywhere there will be desolation, death, and ruin. And so, once again, I have wanted you here, my little son, for you must tell all that the hour of the chastisement has come, and that in order to be protected and saved, they must all enter right away into the safe refuge of my Immaculate Heart. Return to your homes, my beloved children, and bring to all this message of mine as a final call from your Heavenly Mother, who is calling you all and gathering you under her mantle, that you may be consoled and defended by her during the painful trial of these last times of yours. Number 502, The Task of the Guardian Angels. Milan, Italy, October 2nd, 1993, Feast of the Holy Guardian Angels, First Saturday. Beloved children, on this first Saturday of the month, you are gathering together in cenacles to renew your consecration to my Immaculate Heart and to observe the liturgical memorial of your guardian angels. In the times of the great trial, I invite you to strengthen the bond which unites you to your guardian angels. They have a special and important task to carry out with regard to you, especially in these last times. The guardian angels have above all the task of being a light upon your path. The days in which you are living are marked with a great darkness, which is becoming ever more profound and widespread. It is the darkness of errors which encompasses the minds of men and which makes them victims of the great apostasy. It is the darkness of sins which obscures the beauty and holiness of the soul. It is the darkness of impurity which degrades the splendor of your body, called to reflect the glory of the living God. Thus, how many of my poor children are today living like shadows, submerged in the darkness of error, of sin, and of impurity? To your guardian angels has been entrusted the task of protecting you from the great darknesses which surround you, to make you walk always in the light of truth, of holiness, of purity, of humility, of trust, and of love. And secondly, the guardian angels have the task of being a defense for your life. How numerous and subtle are the snares which the wicked spirits set each day for you. These demons who have now been poured out over the world and who are working everywhere to lead souls to eternal damnation. Their activity has now become powerful because it has become associated with the powers who have control of the mass media, such as the press and television. With subtle refinement, evil has been spread under the guise of good, sin as an exercise of one's own freedom, and transgression of the law of God as a new conquest on the part of this poor and perverted humanity. How strong and continuous are the attacks of the wicked spirits in striking you even in your physical life, by accidents, misfortunes, assaults, sicknesses, calamities, explosions of violence, wars, and revolutions. To the guardian angels has been entrusted the task of protecting you against all these evils, of defending you against these snares, and of making you walk through life under their secure and powerful protection. And lastly, the guardian angels have the task of waging together with you one and the same battle to obtain the same victory. In the great trial which has now arrived, the fierce struggle between the woman clothed with the sun and the red dragon, between the forces of good and evil, between Christ and the Antichrist, is becoming still stronger and more bloody. It is a battle which is being waged above all at the level of the spirits, the good spirits against the wicked spirits, the angels against the demons, Saint Michael the Archangel against Lucifer. You are involved in this great struggle, which is immensely above and beyond you. And so you must be particularly close to those who are close to you in the great encounter, who have great power in this struggle, who assist you in fighting, and who lead you to certain victory. Littlest of my children, entrust to the particular protection of your guardian angels the long and wearisome journey which you must undertake in a few days to Malaysia, Indonesia, Australia, the Fiji Islands, and New Zealand, in order to hold cenacles everywhere with the priests and faithful of my movement. I urge you all today to be more assiduous in prayer, stronger in your bond of unity, and deeper in your affection in respect to these angels of light, who are being given to you by the Lord as your guardians and protectors. Together with them all, I bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Number 503, Have Confidence and Great Hope. Jakarta, Cisarua, Indonesia, October 21st, 1993. Spiritual exercises in the form of a cenacle with the priests of the Marian Movement of Priests from Indonesia. How happy I am to see you here, gathered together in a continuous cenacle of prayer and brotherhood, priests of my movement who have come from every part of Indonesia. I am united with your prayer. I am helping you grow in brotherly love. I am obtaining for you from the Lord those graces which make your ministry fruitful and holy, and I want today to give you a message of confidence and hope, which will accompany you on your difficult journey. Have confidence in your Heavenly Mother who is ever close to you, to be of assistance and comfort to you in your priesthood. I see your innumerable difficulties. I welcome all your entreaties. I am close to you to comfort you in your solitude. I give you joy and consolation amidst so much bitterness. Do not feel yourselves alone, even if the field of the apostolate is sometimes dry and difficult. even if the society which surrounds you places obstacles in the way of your priestly action, even if the weight of human weakness seems often to overwhelm you, never become discouraged. I am always close to you as a good and understanding mother, and I am supporting, leading, consoling, and encouraging you. I am gathering up your tears like precious jewels, and I am treasuring your every fatigue in the secret of my Immaculate Heart. Have great hope in the full triumph of God for this poor humanity, so ill and far from Him. You are living the painful years of the great tribulation, and the sufferings are becoming daily heavier for all. Spend the present hour in the Gethsemane of my Immaculate Heart, and set yourselves to carry out with love the will of your Heavenly Father. Be witnesses of faith in these times of the great apostasy. Be witnesses of holiness in these days of great perversion. Be witnesses of love in a world which has become hard and insensitive, consumed and dried up by egoism, hatred, violence, and wars. Bring everywhere the balm of my motherly love and mercy. Take into your priestly arms my children who have strayed, those far away, the poor, the weak, the sick, and the sinners, and bring them all into the safe sheepfold of my Immaculate Heart. Go out from this cenacle with joy, return to your homes in peace, and become apostles of this, my movement, in every part of this great country. With you and with your dear ones and the faithful who are entrusted to your care, I bless today all Indonesia and the church which lives, suffers, and works here, so that my son Jesus may bring to all the gift of his love, of his life, and of his peace. Number 504, In the Heart of the Little Ones, Suva, Fiji Islands, November 12, 1993, Feast of Saint Josaphat, Martyr. You find yourself here today, my little child, in this great island of the Pacific, to hold cenacles with my beloved ones and with the faithful come from even very distant islands. My voice has reached even here. Even here have I received a generous response. You see how it is, especially the little ones, the simple and the poorest, who have responded to me. You see how they are able to understand my voice, to listen to my word, to obey my requests, to pray with perseverance, to consecrate themselves joyfully to my Immaculate Heart. In the heart of the little ones, I experience my great comfort. How many from among the great ones, even from among my beloved ones, reject my invitation and close the door of their hearts to my motherly presence. This persistent rejection is a cause of deep pain to me. But I am consoled in receiving such a generous response from the little ones, because it is these who are the balm which the Heavenly Father gives me and which is placed upon every new wound which opens in my motherly heart. In the heart of the little ones, I find my greatest joy. In them, I reflect my light and I see my plan reproduced, because little I am pleasing to the Most High. Only in the hearts of the little ones does the Father take pleasure, is the Son glorified, and does the Holy Spirit find his permanent dwelling place. Thus, by means of them, the Immaculate Heart of your Heavenly Mother can repeat her eternal Magnificat, her canticle of adoration and praise to the Divine and Most Holy Trinity. In the heart of the little ones, I again set my delight because I am able to exercise fully my function as mother. Thus, I am able to nourish them, clothe them, form them, and lead them gently along the road of purity, love, and holiness. In the heart of the little ones, my Immaculate Heart already achieves its triumph. It is by means of these that I am able to carry out my great work of love and mercy for the salvation of the world and the greatest renewal of all the church. In the heart of the little ones, you too must find your repose. On such a burdensome journey, amidst such great fatigues, which seem humanly impossible to bear, rest on the heart of your Heavenly Mother and rejoice in the response which you receive everywhere from all my littlest children. Number 505, The Glorious Reign of Christ. Sydney, Australia, November 21st, 1993, Solemnity of Christ the King. Beloved children, you are celebrating today the solemnity of Jesus Christ, King of the universe, and you are doing this by way of a great cenacle in which priests and faithful of my movement, coming from other cities of this great nation as well, are taking part. Your Heavenly Mother wants to enfold each one of you in the secure refuge of her Immaculate Heart, to protect you in the time of the great trial, and to prepare you to receive Jesus, who is about to return to establish his glorious reign among you. The glorious reign of Christ will be above all established in hearts and souls. This is the most precious part of the divine royalty of Jesus. In fact, for this the Word became man and came to dwell among us. For this, the Son made himself obedient to the Father, even to death, the death of the cross. Through the redemption carried out by Jesus on Calvary, you were rescued from the reign of Satan, set free from sin, which is the yoke of slavery under him, and you became children of God, because he has communicated his love and his very own life to you. Those hearts renewed by love and those souls sanctified by grace form then the most precious part of the divine royalty of Jesus. The glorious reign of Christ will correspond to a general flowering of holiness and purity, of love and justice, of joy and peace. For the hearts of men will be transformed by the powerful force of the Holy Spirit, who will pour out himself upon them through the miracle of his second Pentecost. And souls will be enlightened by the presence of the Most Holy Trinity, who will produce in them an extraordinary unfolding of all the virtues. The glorious reign of Christ will also be reflected in a new form of life in everyone, because you will be drawn to live only for the glory of the Lord, and the Lord will be glorified when his divine will be perfectly accomplished by each one of you. The glorious reign of Christ will coincide then with the perfect accomplishment of the will of God on the part of every one of his creatures in such a way that as it is in heaven, so it will also be on this earth. But this is not possible unless there first takes place the defeat of Satan, the tempter, the lying spirit who has ever intervened in the history of mankind in order to lead men to rebellion against the Lord and disobedience to his law. The glorious reign of Christ will be established after the complete defeat of Satan and all the spirits of evil and the destruction of Satan's diabolical power. Thus, he will be bound and cast into hell, and the gates of the abyss will be shut so that he can no longer get out to harm the world, and Christ will reign in the world. The glorious reign of Christ will coincide with the triumph of the Eucharistic reign of Jesus, because in a purified and sanctified world, completely renewed by love, Jesus will be made manifest above all in the mystery of his Eucharistic presence. The Eucharist will be the source from which will burst forth all his divine power, and it will become the new sun, which will shed its bright rays in hearts and souls, and then in the life of individuals, families, and nations, making of all one single flock, docile and meek, whose sole shepherd will be Jesus. Your Heavenly Mother is leading you on toward these new heavens and this new earth, the Mother who is gathering you today from every part of the world to prepare you to receive the Lord who is coming. Number 506, Your Light Will Shine. Sydney, Australia, November 23, 1993, Spiritual Exercises in the Form of a Cenacle with the Priests of the Marian Movement of Priests from Oceania. how happy I am, dear priests of my movement in Australia, to see you gathered together here in a continuous cenacle of prayer and brotherhood. Grow in love among yourselves. Live these days with the joy of brothers who meet together, who know each other, love each other, and help each other to walk together along the painful road of these times of the great tribulation. Pray with perseverance and trust. I am uniting myself with your prayer. I am close to you to give strength and power to your prayer, so that the Holy Spirit can come down with his gifts upon this cenacle of yours and make you fit for the mission which awaits you. Brighten up the earth in these days of great darkness and be a source of comfort and consolation for all the church in this time of its great desolation. Your light will shine more and more and will spread throughout all this vast continent of Oceania, so ensnared and possessed by my adversary and yours. Your light will shine by way of your priestly witness of faith. See how the apostasy has spread everywhere, how errors are taught and propagated, how the lack of discipline and confusion is increasing. How many pastors no longer keep watch over the flock entrusted to them, and thus many rapacious wolves in lamb's clothing are entering to wreak havoc in the sheepfold of my son Jesus. Be the light set on a lampstand to draw along the road of truth many of my poor children who are walking in the darkness of error and of the loss of the true faith. Thus, you will be faithful ministers of the gospel, and by means of you, the church, after the painful trial through which it is now living, will once again shed in all its splendor the light of Christ and of his truth. Your light will shine by way of your priestly witness of holiness. See how materialism and hedonism are threatening this great country. The search for pleasure, money, comfort, entertainment and impurity have become for many the only ideal in life, and thus the little ones are led astray along the path of evil. Youth are drawn into vice and drugs. Families are destroyed by divorce and by the selfish shutting off of the gift of life. Bring back to the house of the Father these poor children of mine who have gone astray. For this, be faithful ministers of grace and holiness through the ministry of the sacraments, which Jesus has entrusted to you above all that of reconciliation. Put yourselves at the disposal of the faithful to lead them along the way of good and love, of purity and grace, of peace and salvation. Your light will shine by way of your priestly witness of love. Love everyone with the divine heart of Jesus and with the tenderness of my motherly love. See how the world today has become a desert for want of love. Unbridled egoism rules, violence and hatred are spreading. Indifference has the upper hand in many hearts. Become cold and insensitive toward the most needy. Priests consecrated to my Immaculate Heart, you must be the soothing balm which is placed on every open and bleeding wound. Take the little ones by the hand, support the weak, lead the uncertain, comfort the sick, save the lost, convert the sinners, give confidence to the despairing. Go out to meet those who are far away and bring them, in your priestly arms, into the safe refuge of my Immaculate Heart. In this way, you become the instruments of the triumph of my Immaculate Heart in the world. Go out from this cenacle and go to every part of this most vast continent to brighten up the earth with the light of your faith, of your holiness, and of your love. I am always with you. As Mother, I follow you on your journey, and I am close to you to give you help and comfort. With your dear ones and with those persons who are entrusted to your care, I bless you all in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Number 507, The Years of My Triumph. Perth, Australia, December 8, 1993, Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception. Today you are concluding a long journey which, in 2 months, you have undertaken in many countries of Asia and Oceania. you have been able to hold 73 cenacles in which bishops, priests, and faithful of my movement have taken part. You have seen my little son so loved and protected by me, the great marvels of my immaculate heart in every part of this vast continent. These are the years during which I am forming for myself the new church and the new humanity in the heavenly garden of my immaculate heart. These are the years of my triumph. Satan has deceived this entire poor humanity, bringing it so far away from God and building for it idols of his own perversion, pleasure, money, pride, egoism, amusement, and impurity. And so humanity is today greatly threatened by violence, hatred, rebellion, and war. During these years, you will see the great chastisement with which the justice of God will purify this world, which has become a thousand times worse than at the time of the flood, and so very possessed by evil spirits. And so I am gathering my little children from every part of the earth and enclosing them in the safe refuge of my immaculate heart, so that they may be defended and saved by me at the moment of the great trial which has now arrived for all. Thus, in the very years when Satan is triumphing by leading humanity along the road of its own destruction, my motherly heart is also triumphing as I bring my little children along the way of salvation and peace. Satan has also entered into the interior of the church and has succeeded in darkening her splendor. With the darkness of sin, he has obscured the splendor of her holiness. With the wound of division, he has made an attack upon the strength of her unity. With the spread of errors, he has stricken her in her proclamation of the truth, this poor, gravely ill daughter of mine. And so I am calling my little children from all sides to consecrate themselves to my immaculate heart, in order to entrust themselves to me as babes. In this way, in the garden of my immaculate heart, I am forming for myself each day the new church, holy, united, a faithful herald of the gospel who gives her perfect witness to Jesus. These are the years when Satan is ruling as a sure victor. These are therefore also the years of my triumph. My light will become stronger and stronger the more you enter into the decisive moments of the battle. In the end, the victory will be that of your Immaculate Mother, who with her virginal foot will crush the head of the serpent and with her hands will bind the great dragon, that he may thus be rendered powerless and no longer be able to do harm in the world. Both humanity and the church will experience this new era, which you are now awaiting in confidence and in prayer, in suffering and in hope. For this, as a breaking dawn, you will, as of today, see my light becoming stronger and stronger until it encircles the whole earth, ready now to open itself to the new day, which will begin with the triumph of my Immaculate Heart in the world. Number 508, This Holy Night, Dongo, Como, Italy, December 24th, 1993, the Holy Night. Recollect yourselves with me in silence and expectation. Forget every other preoccupation and enter into the quiet of prayer. Live together with me this precious moment which precedes the birth of my divine child. This is the night of love and of light. This is the night of reconciliation and of peace. This is the holy night. Share in the joy of your heavenly mother who feels that the moment of her virginal motherhood has now come. For me, it is as though everything that surrounds me is far away, the fatigue of the journey to Bethlehem, the noise of the crowded caravan, the anxious search to find a place to spend the night, the sad surprise before each door as it is closed, the trusting confidence before a poor little cave which opens itself to us, the gentle and loving assistance of my most chaste spouse, Joseph, surrounds me like a caress. It is He who seeks to make the place more hospitable, who prepares the crib in a warmer manger, who looks about for a shield against the rigor of the cold, who stays close to me and joins in my great prayer, who sees the heavens open, who contemplates in wonder the prodigy, hears the song of the angels, and is conscious of the peace which comes down from heaven, who opens the door to the poor and the little ones, and graciously accepts the simple gifts of the shepherds. As for myself, I am absorbed in a profound rapture. The face of the Father is revealed to me, and I contemplate the divine mystery of His merciful love, the Word, who has taken human form in my virginal womb, becomes present in my motherly arms as a newborn babe, and I cover Him with kisses and tears. The Holy Spirit looks with pleasure on the fruit of His overshadowing. Beloved children, live with me in this profound rapture throughout this holy night. It is love which is born into a world consumed with hatred. It is light which dawns upon the long season of deep darkness. It is the awaited reconciliation between a lost humanity and its Lord, who loves and redeems it. It is peace which comes down from heaven upon all men of good will. Enter with me into the mystery of this holy night, for the great trial has now arrived for all. Violence and the fire of hatred are bringing death to the world. A deep darkness enwraps this humanity which no longer sees light. The pact of the covenant is again broken by men who have openly rebelled against their God. And wars, rebellions, and destruction fill your journey with tears and blood. For you, the time of the great trial has come. And so, once again, I invite you to let yourselves be carried by me into the mystery of this holy night. And then, like Joseph, exert yourselves earnestly to open up the souls and hearts of men to receive Jesus in His second coming. And do not allow yourselves to be taken up with vain and useless preoccupations, but keep watch with me in prayer and in the expectation of His now closely approaching return in glory. Number 509, Great is My Concern. Milan, Italy, December 31st, 1993, last night of the year. Beloved children, spend with me in recollection and prayer the last hours of this year, which is about to end. Do not let yourselves be taken up with dissipation, clamor, and amusements, in which the majority of my poor children spend these hours. Read in silence the signs of your time and join in my great concern for what awaits you. Great is my concern because this humanity, so ailing, is continuing in its obstinate rejection of God and of His law of love. In many ways and with numerous signs and extraordinary interventions, I have intervened in the course of this year to urge it to conversion and to its return to the Lord. But I have not been listened to. The name of the Lord is scorned, and His day is more and more profaned. Egoism is suffocating the hearts of men, become cold and closed due to a great incapacity to love. Life is considered of little value. Violence and homicides are increasing. All kinds of means are being used to prevent the birth of more children. Willful abortions, this terrible crime which day and night cries to your God for vengeance, are increasing everywhere. Impurity is spreading like a great tide of filth which is sweeping everything before it. The cup of divine justice is full to overflowing. I see the chastisement by which the mercy of God wishes to purify and save this poor sinful humanity. How numerous and great are the sufferings which await you, my poor children, so enticed and ensnared by Satan, the spirit of falsehood, who is seducing you and leading you to your death. Great is my concern because my church is at the mercy of the forces of evil which are threatening it and attempting to destroy it from within. Masonry, with its diabolical power, has set up its center in the very heart of the church, where the vicar of my son Jesus resides, and from there it is spreading its evil influence to every part of the world, and now the church will once again be betrayed by its own. It will be cruelly persecuted and led to the gibbet. I see that the bloody persecution is now at the doors, and many of you will be scattered by the violent wind of this frightful hurricane. During these hours, share in my great concern and unite yourselves, each and all, to my prayer of intercession and reparation. Multiply everywhere the cenacles of prayer which I have asked of you, as safe places, as refuges in which you take shelter in the tremendous storm which awaits you. In the cenacles, you will be aware of my extraordinary presence. In the cenacles, you will experience the security and peace which your Heavenly Mother gives you. In the cenacles, you will be preserved from evil and defended from the great dangers which threaten you. In the cenacles, you will be formed by me in confidence and in a great hope, because the cenacle is the place of your salvation, which the Heavenly Mother has prepared for you in these last times in which the great trial has now come for all.